He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
Not every thought you have is a good thought. You have to sift it through the filter of God's word. The enemy can also shoot fiery darts into your mind. The Bible talks about avoiding the fiery darts of the enemy, and it gives the image, Paul actually gives an image of putting on the whole armor of God. So you have a shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness. It talks about the fiery darts of the enemy. So you have to take those thoughts captive and saying, this is not good, it's not godly, it's not productive, Lord. And if you take that thought captive, you can actually quench and put out those fiery darts.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today on Regaining Lost Ground, we again visit the dangerous topic of offense in a special message titled, You Hurt Me, Now What? Part 2, and is from the sermon series, Through the Bible. The life of Jesus was a perfect model of what the Christian life should desire to live. Jesus, when speaking on the topic of offenses, said in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Have you ever been so offended by what somebody said or did against you that you still hold on to a root of bitterness towards them? Please join us as Pastor Shane continues to encourage and convict in this message of freedom from the snares of offenses. A powerful reminder to us that, as a believer in Jesus Christ, to forgive and be forgiven is not an option, but a necessity if we are to experience the true filling of the Holy Spirit, the will of our Heavenly Father for you today. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
This message, You Hurt Me, Now What? You Hurt Me, Now What? Part 2. And I was shocked after last week because I don't think I've received that many correspondences of people just being helped by God's word. And sometimes it hurts to get help. When they remove that cancer tumor, it doesn't feel real good. Or that root canal. Or that pride. If you ask for humility and your pride is going to be crushed, it's going to hurt. Can I get a witness? 9 a.m.? Okay. There's either a lot of humble people here or a lot of prideful people. I'm not sure yet what that is. And you need to know we all struggle with pride. Nobody's immune to that. And I love many times over the years I've talked to people and I've said, hey, there's a prideful, critical heart here. And they go, well, you're prideful. I'm like, well, yeah, but that's not the right time to discuss it because that means you're deflecting the pride in your own heart. And when we're prideful, we like to deflect and make excuses and blame the other person. And that's why it's stiff-necked. And so we're going to try to humble some people this morning. Part 2, You Hurt Me, Now What? Part 2, 1 Corinthians 11, a powerful reminder for all of us, 18 through 19. When you come together as a church, now this is amazing. The Bible actually tells us that there is going to be division in the church. It doesn't promote it, doesn't encourage it, but it says there will be division in a healthy church. Why? Because in a healthy church, we're trying to grow. And there's growing pains. In a healthy church, there's the demonic realm working overtime. Planting seeds of division, planting seeds of discord. And then not everyone in the church is a united, spirit-filled believer. And I've seen statistics out there, and it's pretty close, but if Jesus had 1 out of 12 devils, you know, a church of 1,000, there might be 100 people who are not on your side. And so there will be disunity in a healthy, living church. And so Paul said, I hear that there are divisions among you, And I believe it in part, for there must be factions, divisions, contentions. There must be that among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. So if somebody is, if there's a group of people, you're spirit-filled believers, you're wanting to live out God's word, and you're wanting to grow in humility, and there's others who don't, there's going to be friction. You want to honor God, others don't. You want to worship, others don't. It's that bickering and complaining that in the church there's divisions to show who is really of God. And that's what division can do. It can really show you who is mature in the faith, who really wants to grow, who is filled with the Spirit, who is erring on the side of grace, and it will show you those who are divisive and immature. This is actually one of the best ways you can expose the wolf in sheep's clothing as well, because of division in the church. And it points out, okay, there's a division. Who's on God's side? Who's on God's side? And I remember, I think it was Ronald Reagan when they're debating Republican, Democrat. And he goes, I just want to know what side God is on. That's what side I want to be on. And so that's in the church. We want to be on God's side. And anytime you're fighting for unity, you're contending for unity, there will be division. And it proves who is who. And how you handle that conflict says a lot. Church, always remember this. How you handle conflict reveals a lot about your spiritual maturity. Do we throw a fit and get upset and go on angry tirades and try to defend ourselves and get them back and hold in a spirit of bitterness? Or do we own it, work on it, grow together? And I think one of the biggest indications of spiritual maturity is how a person handles conflict. One of the biggest indicators of spiritual maturity is, or lack of it, I should say, is how they handle conflict. And the irony is, over the years I've seen those who are spiritually mature, want God's will for their life, filled with the Spirit, they're actually okay with conflict and talking through things and working it out and getting stronger. Those who are immature and don't like it, they don't like conflict because they don't want to be exposed. Remember, truth invites scrutiny. Let's talk about it. Error runs from it. And so a person who's always avoiding conflict, now, anybody out there is not a person of conflict, you don't like it? I think most of us don't like it. So we shouldn't run to it. We shouldn't look forward to it. That we shouldn't be, just can't wait for conflict. But when it comes, and that's what I talked about last week, you need to listen to last week's message really as well, because it was the twin to this message. It sets the stage for if you're going to grow spiritually, there's going to be conflict. If you're going to mature, there's going to be conflict. There's just no way around it. And I wish there was. Amen? It was one of the biggest lessons I ever learned being a pastor. Because you think, most church planters think they're going to do it the right way. I'm going to do it the right way. And you realize that there's no right way, only God's way. And hey, the way we do it, there's going to be not much conflict. Yes, there is a lot of conflict. The core group we started with, most of them were gone in 6 months. Often because they were hurt. They were offended. One group, I remember, they thought they were going to be the worship team, and they weren't the worship team. They weren't really that gifted, and that hurt them. Another group wanted us to not hire or not have a youth pastor because they think all the kids should always be in the church. It's called the Family Integrated Church Movement. A lot of wisdom in some of that. We have our kids, actually our young adults in here. We don't offer teen and studies on Sundays. They have it on Wednesdays, so they can actually be in the service. But it was such a point of contention. Oh, Shane, you got to watch this Vody Bachman sermon. Okay, I've seen 15 of them. What do you want me to know? That's how they do their church. That's great for them. But God might have us doing something a little bit different. And contention and contention. That's how you know when the enemy likes you bickering and complaining over the little things. We would actually get in heated discussions, not to you, but because I wasn't making a lot of announcements. And so I said, okay, let's try it one Sunday. And I'll never remember, her name was Chelsea. And she's just singing, I don't remember what it was, something about the Holy Spirit. And it was just a powerful worship song. People are just engaged. And then we turn on the lights, sit down. Now let's have 10 minutes of announcements. The men's potluck that is coming up is next week. And the women's tea is this. It's like, oh, we just killed that environment. And so, see, conflict. But that's how we did it in our old church. Okay, that's good, but is this something we really need to argue over? And I'm just opening up because that's church life, how we used to do things. And that's what you really know when you're in trouble. Well, that's not how we used to do it. Or that's not how this such and such church, or when I was growing up, that's not how we used to do it. And we don't have it too much, but early on, especially coming up here, the biggest battles were what they would call the worship wars. You know where I'm going with this? Old hymns or contemporary? And boy, it's a battle. The reason is preference. Preference. If you were used to the old hymns growing up and it really resonates with you, like when you hear the Star Spangled Banner or something, I mean, something just, patriotic, but you could hear those. And that's when I came to the Lord. That's when I walked that sawdust trail. Billy Graham used to have those revivals and old rugged cross. And you can relate where some of us, others came up with contemporary songs drawing us back to the Lord. And both sets are good if they're grounded in God's word. Because remember, the old hymns used to be new hymns when they were first written. And I remember reading Charles Wesley's biography. And Martin Luther, when he would try to bring new songs into the church, they wouldn't, we sing them now. Mighty is our fortress, I believe. But when that was first introduced, it's like, we got to go back. See, it's always been that throughout the ages. And the enemy loves that kind of division because the Spirit of God is not there. If you're always fighting and dividing and arguing over all these things. So what I didn't get to last week is what I want to share with you this morning. The first thing you have to do is grab the hammer of humility. And what do you do with a hammer? So hit yourself right here. Grab the hammer of humility. Pride has to be crushed with a sledgehammer, not caressed with a feather. Pain, pain, pain equals what? Yes. Pain, pain, pain. And it's hard. It's really hard for a conflict to flourish when both people are humble. What soil does it grow in? How can you have an argument where, like, you know what, you're right, great point, let's move forward, let's be united, let's not let this divide us, versus stiff-necked. My way. This way. I don't want to do it that way. I'm feeling threatened. And pride comes up in all of us. And we have to just let the hammer of humility crush it. And there's a verse. Oh, yeah, here it is. God encourages us to humble ourselves. But the verse I didn't put was when it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he will exalt you. Exalt yourself and he will humble you. Let me tell you, it's much, much better to humble yourself. Amen? Amen. Humble yourself, because God, the way he humbles you is he embarrasses you. He exposes you. Humble yourself. Take the lower road. And it's challenging. I've been in discussions where I know I was right. I know I could have drove a point home. I know I could have just, bam, slammed it. But for the sake of unity, say, hey, you know what? Let's just start afresh. We don't need to rehash that. Let's just both move forward on this point, knowing we love each other, be united, and just let that go. Love doesn't keep any record wrong done against it. Always hopes, always perseveres, always trusts. And you start afresh. But internally, I'm not wanting to say those things. What's happening internally? My defense attorney and within. But Shane, let him have it. You know, you're right. You need to prove yourself. You need to show them. You need to get the last word in. Any last worders out there? If you're not honest, I can point you out because I know who those last worders are. Right? The conversation's over. Oh, Pastor, by the way, when you said such and such, but isn't it funny? We all grow together. We all mature together if we're willing. One thing about this area is you will grow, you will mature, you will become stronger if you open yourself up to God transforming you. It happens. I look back at my life and I'm like, oh, I'm glad God waited till I was 40 to plant a church. I would have hurt a lot of people in my 20s. You know, I remember those, what they call it, where your mouse sits on? Mouse pad? Okay, mouse pad. But it said, I'll still remember this big, mean Steelers football player. It said, in life, you're either the pavement or you're the steamroller. And I chose to be, guess what? Yeah. And that was my motto. And I would tell people, in life, stop crying. In life, you're either the pavement or you're the steamroller. That's not true, right? You can be a mixture of both. You can drive the steamroller and then decide what needs to be crushed, what needs to be smoothed out. God encourages us to humble ourselves and use gentle words to turn away wrath. That is so powerful, the power of the gentle word. Because as a fire is brewing, you can throw gas on that fire by your words. Husbands, or you can throw water on the fire. Humble yourself and be gentle. In doing so, we receive God's grace rather than his resistance. Resistance. Again, we can all see when a conversation isn't going well. Have you been there? And when they're saying things, it's like, oh, I feel the fire burning. And I'm going to let them have it. That's the time to take those thoughts captive. And you can also learn from the person, even if they're wrong. Even if the person is wrong, there's something you can learn from them. I told someone just this week, we thought if somebody, they were in the wrong, let's say. But, you know, even a donkey spoke to Balaam. If God's getting to wake us up, we have to listen to those we might not agree with. And then, of course, the obvious, stop the stinking thinking. Stop the... Boy, if we could just take our thoughts captive. Think about that. Not every thought you have is a good thought. You have to sift it through the filter of God's word. The enemy can also shoot fiery darts into your mind. The Bible talks about avoiding the fiery darts of the enemy. And it gives the image, Paul actually gives an image of putting on the whole armor of God. So you have a shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness. You have all these different things. But it talks about the fiery darts of the enemy. And to date, I've never been hit with an actual fiery dart. Physical. Ow, that hurt. The devil got me again. Where do they come? And so you have your own thoughts. The rebel within is wanting you to defend yourself, and how dare they? And then you have the enemy fueling the fire. Do you know why the fire is on the dart? What they would do is dip the arrows into some type of oil, tar. They would light it on fire, and then they would shoot maybe a house or something, or something with a lot of wood, and it would ignite. And so that's a perfect picture there. The fiery dart just ignites, stirs the pot, right? Have you seen that? I'm not cabbage patching. That would look funny if I did, wouldn't it? The cabbage patch. Remember that? Your kids are like, what is that? Cabbage patch was a dance in the 1990s. And you were stirring the pot. How did I think of that? I didn't even think of cabbage patch in the first service. So Let's say you're stirring the pot. The enemy's stirring the pot, fueling the flames of hatred and discord. And I believe the thoughts is a thought from God. Is it my own thought? It's a thought from the enemy. I don't know exactly how it works, but the brain, if you study, the people who actually study the brain and you read their writings, it's amazing how much the brain can comprehend and neurotransmitters and how they send messages in the subconscious and it's just amazing. And somehow our brain, do you ever have something? It's not that really a big of a deal, but by the end of the day, it's a real big deal. What happened? Who fueled that fire? Well, I'm so mad. By the end of the day, you're fuming. Come on, 11 a.m., you got to be more honest. 9 a.m. was not very honest on this point. It's like I had a holy group of Billy Grahams, and I'm the only one up here being transparent. But by the end of the day, you are fuming. It's those fiery darts. So you have to take those thoughts captive and saying, this is not good. It's not godly. It's not productive, Lord. And if you take that thought captive, you can actually quench and put out those fiery darts. That's how that works. And many of our thoughts are not good for that very reason, and definitely not godly. And then in addition to that, I believe this is how the enemy, when the Bible talks about avoiding the fiery darts or blocking the fiery darts of the enemy, I've never been hit by a physical fiery dart, but I've been hit by a lot of mental fiery darts. It's because those fiery darts, and the devil, I believe, those thoughts will tell you what is not true. He is the father of lies.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
Hello, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman with Regaining Lost Ground. It is such a privilege to be on the station and to be able to speak to you each week. And I want to just let you know of an incredible opportunity. We have actually taken all 12 of my books and made them available as free downloads at the church website. The church website is westsidechristianfellowship.org. Again, that's westsidechristianfellowship.org, and it's under free ebooks. So books on revival, books on prayer, books on fasting, even books on health and fitness from a biblical perspective. I've written books to young adults and teenagers, to men, books on marriage and how far our nation has drifted and how we can get back on track and really begin to seek the heart of God again. So all of those books, all 12, are available as free downloads at westsidechristianfellowship.org, and you can send those out to friends, to family in need. Our goal is to get this out to help people in certain areas that they are struggling with. For example, if you like a lot of the messages here from Regaining Lost Ground from Westside Christian Fellowship, the books actually contain a lot of the sermon notes, a lot of the illustrations, a lot of the stories, a lot of the scriptures, a lot of the points. All of those are in the books that you can download for free. The newest one, 40 Days to Reset Your Life and Oh God, Would You Rend the Heavens? They both focus on prayer and fasting and renewal and all these things. They're so vital, because without another spiritual awakening, I don't have a lot of hope for our nation, but I have a lot of hope in God. So again, just want to let you know of this incredible opportunity at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks, and you can download the books for free on our church website. And again, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman thanking our listeners again for just the blessing you've been, not only to me, but to our church staff, from the emails coming in and the letters coming in on how God has blessed you powerfully through this program. And that is our prayer, that he keeps doing that and keeps bringing the prodigal sons home, that he restores marriages, and it begins to fill us mightily with his spirit. And we pray, oh God, rend the heavens and come down and visit your people again.
And for all the latest on what God is doing with his ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change. Truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when he calls. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.